जय राधा माधव जय कुंज बिहारी जय जय राधा माधव जय कुंज बिहारी जय गोपी जनवल्लभ जय गिरिवर धारी जय गिरिवर धारी जय गोपी जनवल्लभ जय गिरिवर धारी जय गिरिवर धारी जय यशोदानन्दन जय व्रजजन रञ्जन जय यशोदानन्दन जय व्रजजन रञ्जन जय यमुना तीरवनचारी जय कुंज बिहारी जय यमुना तीरवन चारी जय कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव जय कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव जय कुंज बिहारी हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे राम 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 हरे हरे Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada. Jaya Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Jaya Prabhupada. Jom Vishwapad Paramahamsa Parivrajaka Acharya Ashtotara Chata Shri Srimad His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Varashila Prabhupada Ki Jai Jom Vishwapad Paramahamsa Parivrajaka Acharya Ashtotara Chata Shri Srimad Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur Marashila Prabhupada Ki Jai Ananda Kodi Vaishnavrind Ki Jai Nama Acharya Shila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai Sri Rupa Sanatan Bhattaraguna, Sri Jiva Gopala Bhattadasaraguna, Shata Goswami Prabhugan ki jai, Prem Sakaho, Jai Sri Krishna, Jai Nipramuntiyananda, Sri Dagadadhar, Sri Vasadi Gora, Bhakta Vrinda ki jai, Granthra, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Jai Nitai Gora, Premanande, All glories to assembled devotees, all glories to assembled devotees, all glories to assembled devotees, all glories to Sri Guru Gauranga, all glories to Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 7, Chapter 14, entitled Ideal Family Life, verse number 24. Taete Shreyasah Kala Nrinam Shreyo Vivardhanah Kurya Sarvatma Neteshu Shreyo Mogham Tadayushaha Taede Shreyasah Kala Nrinam Shreyo Vivardhanah Kurya Sarvatmanaiteshu Shreyo Mogham Tadayushaha Taede Shreyasah Kala Nrinam Shreyo Vivardhanah Kurya Sarvatmanaiteshu Shreyo Mogham Tadayushah Taede Shreyasah Kala Tethasreyasakala Nam Shreya Vatnaha Kurya Sarvatmane Deshu Shreyo Mogham Tadayushaha Tethasreyas Kala Shreyo Vatnaha Atharva Maneshteshu Tadede Shreyasa Kala Shreyasakala Nrinam Shreyo Vivardhanaha Kurya Sarvatmanaiteshu Shreyo Mogham Tadayishaha Tede Shreyasakala Nrinam Shreyo Vivardhanaha Kurya Sarvatmanaiteshu Shreyo Mogham Tadayushaha Tayede Shreyasakala Nrinam Shreyo Vivardhanaha Kurya Sarvatmanaiteshu Shreyo Mogham Tadayushaha. Word to word translation responsibly, please. Te. Therefore. Ete. All these. Descriptions of astronomical calculations. Shreyasaha. Of auspiciousness. Kalaha. Times. Nrinam. For human beings. Shreyaha, auspiciousness. Vivardhanaha, increase. Kuryat, one should perform. Sarva Atmana, by other activities. Not only the Shraddha ceremony. Eteshu, in these seasons. Shreyaha, causing auspiciousness, amogham, and success, that of a human being, ayushaha, of the duration of life. Translation, all of these seasonal times are considered extremely auspicious for humanity. At such times, one should perform all auspicious activities. For by such activities, a human being attains success in his short duration of life. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. When one comes to the human form of life through natural evolution, one must then take the responsibility for further progress. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 9:25, Yanti Devavrata Devan. One who worships the demigods can be promoted to their planets. Yanti mat yajinopimam. And if one practices devotional service to the Lord, he goes back home, back to Godhead. In the human form of life, therefore, one is meant to act auspiciously in order to return home, back to Godhead. Devotional service, however, does not depend on material conditions. Ahaitukya apratihata. Of course, For those who are engaged in fruitive activities on the material platform, the time and seasons mentioned above are extremely congenial. Om Ajnanatimiranthasya Jnananjanashalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Patagamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanyutam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanyutamscha हे कृष्णा करुणा सिंधो दीनबंधो जगतपते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वांछगल्पदरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे भूतैर्महाद्भिर्यमा पुरो विभु निर्मायशे देयदमूष पुरुष भुङ्क्ते गुणान् षोडश षोडशात्मक सोऽलङ्कृषीष्ट भगवान् वचांसि मे हरे कृष्ण दिस् चाप्टर् कण्टिन्यूस् on the description of ideal family life, and here there are descriptions of activities or the auspicious ceremonies to be conducted at suitable times by the humanity to attain success in this lifetime. Here Srila Prabhupada makes it clear that many of these activities are not very relevant for us if we are practicing devotional service. So he makes it clear that if one performs ritualistic ceremonies which can be useful in family life, if they are not really trying to practice pure devotional service, then they may adopt to worship of devatas. And here the results are also very clearly mentioned. Yanti devavratan devan pitrun yanti pitruvratan and bhutani yanti bhudejyo yanti madhyajino pimam. So according to the worship, we attain different results. It is very obvious and it is very common. And so Prabhupada mentioned that one should perform pure devotional service, and as a result, yandi mat yajinopi mam. One who worships me, Krishna says, the Supreme Lord, then one goes back home, back to Godhead. So here Prabhupada concludes the purport saying that, of course, for those who are engaged in fruitive activities, which is karmakanda, on the material platform, the times and seasons mentioned above are extremely congenial. So for devotees, we don't look at which month to chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra. We don't look at which month or which season to come to the temple. That is not for devotees. For us, it is Nityam Bhagavata Seveya. Shri Vigrahara Dhana Nitya Nana Shringara Tan Mantira Marjanado. Nitya. Everything is Nitya. It's every day. Devotional service is every day. It is not seasonal. Okay, according to seasons, the worship and the festivals can change. Of course, we have different festivals. But otherwise, It is a daily activity. So Srila Prabhupada is emphasizing this pure devotion service, and he says, Ahetuki apratihata. Two words, Ahetuki. Without any other hetu or without any other motivation, without any ulterior motivation, that is Ahetuki. And apratihata, without any stoppage, without any break. So this is the qualities, or these are the qualities of pure devotion service. And Srila Prabhupada is strongly emphasizing to perform pure devotion service, and that's why Srila Prabhupada has established our ISKCON movement and have institutionalized a morning program and evening program and standards of worship. And I found this purport is very short and the message is very clear and straight, and this is very much in line with today, which is very auspicious day, being the appearance day of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So today I will try to explain a couple of principles taught by Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj. I am not getting into the life histories of Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj, rather we will try to go into some of the teachings which are very much in line with, or it's exactly what is mentioned in this purport, because that is the nature of the parampara. Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj appeared in this world on 6th of February 1874, 3:30 p.m. in Jagannath Puri. Very auspicious appearance. And we might have heard this before, when Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj appeared, the umbilical cord was around his body just like a Brahman thread, and it made a permanent mark on his body. So that in itself was a sign that Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj was a great personality by birth. They could identify the lakshana or the characteristics of a Mahapurusha in his body. So he was very special even from the very birth. There are many, many pastimes, even from his childhood, shows the extraordinary personality of Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj. His devotion, his scholarship, they were unparalleled. I'll just show a couple of instances and then we'll get into the teaching. For example, his devotion was such that he understood the meaning of Ishavasyam Idam Sarvam Yatkinchit Jagatyam Jagat. Everything is owned and controlled by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and we had to accept only the quota which is set aside. Tena tektena bhujada ma grihasthasya suddhanam. So as a young boy, one time his father, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he brought some mangoes. It was the season, he brought some ripened fresh mangoes to home. So Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj, he was just a young boy, he took one of the mangoes and he just ate. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur very mildly chastised him, saying that first you had to offer to Krishna, otherwise how can you eat bhog that is meant for Krishna? And that point, Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj, just as a young boy, as Bimal Prasad, he made a vow that in his life he will not eat mangoes. So we know mango, Prabhupada also says, is the king of fruits. And Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj, just as a young boy, he made a promise he will never eat mangoes in his life. And he kept that promise throughout his life. So when he was a big guru, he had many followers, he had many disciples. When somebody brings mangoes as an offering to him, he would say, offer it to Krishna and distribute. It is not good for me because I have done an aparadh. I have done a sin. So I will never eat mango. So that was his devotion. That was his attachment to Krishna right from the beginning. And just to speak about one instance of his scholarship, there is this grammar book in Sanskrit known as Siddhanta Kaumudi. those who learn Sanskrit, they all know about Siddhanta Gaumati. It takes pretty much a lifetime to master Siddhanta Gaumati. It is so much grammatical rules. He learned from his teacher Siddhanta Gaumati in 3 months. It's mentioned he learned all the rules of conjunction in grammar in Sanskrit, which is very complicated. He learned in 3 days. So even his teacher was surprised. So then what to speak about his scholarship in astrology? He was the greatest scholar of astrology. And he translated Surya Siddhanta from Sanskrit to Bengali and gave a commentary. He was able to defeat the master of astrology in the university at that time in Calcutta. He was able to defeat him. And they offered the chair of astrology to him unconditionally. Whenever he wanted, he could go and accept the chair. So that was his caliber. Just to tell something about his younger days. However, today what we are going to focus on is his teachings and the way he was preaching. So to start with, we will look into Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj as a revolutionary preacher of truth. He was a preacher. He was completely dedicated in preaching Shuddha Bhakti. He wanted to preach pure devotion service, and he didn't want to compromise anything for that. So we can see Srila Prabhupada was doing exactly the same thing. Even this purport is a classic example. Prabhupada is not getting into the details of how to do whatever ritualistic ceremony in which month. Prabhupada is getting into the correct point, the direct point, which is ahetuki apratihata ye atma suprasidati. The soul can only be fully satisfied by pure devotion service. So Bhaktisiddhanta Siddhanta Maharaj was ready to challenge the misconceptions present that time in the society in Gaudiya Vaishnavism, such as Siddha Pranali, for example. He challenged Siddha Pranali. Siddha Pranali means a guru will give his disciple the constitutional position as a gopa or a gopi or whatever, as a cow or a peacock, and the disciple would meditate and practice internally and to some degree externally in the Siddha position, in his eternally perfect position. And this was not the system presented by the six Goswamis, even though Siddha Pranali is a bona fide process. If somebody is qualified, if one is beyond the bodily conception, then the guru and the disciple has to be qualified. Then guru can tell the disciple what is one's eternal position and the disciple can practice. But it was practiced without any qualification. Both the gurus and the disciples were not qualified. So Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj challenged this. And he challenged Prakrita Sahajyas, who showed the sentiments of devotion, but at the same time, at the background, they were engaging themselves in sense gratification. So he wanted to establish the real parampara, and that was the reason he arrived. So his presentation was as presented in Srimad Bhagavatam in the second verse, Dharma Projita Kaitavotra Paramam Nirmatsaranam Sadam. Dharma Projita Kaitava. He wanted to show what is the real dharma and what is Kaitava dharma, what is cheating religion. He wanted to expose that to this world. So he had to take hard stance in many occasions to preach the truth. So I'll read a little bit here. This is from Bhaktisiddhanta Vaibhava, his presentation on truth. Do not try to discover the nature of truth by the exercise of your imagination. Do not endeavor to attain the truth through experience of this world. Do not manufacture truth in order to satisfy your erring inclinations or hastily accept anything for the reason that it satisfies such inclinations. Do not regard as truth anything that has been built up or has the support of a majority of people like yourself, nor
as untruth anything that is rejected by the overwhelming majority. So he preached the truth whether it was satisfying others or not. So he didn't go for the, you know, the mass majority, the opinion of the mass majority. He never went with that. According to the scriptures, there will be found hardly one in a crore of human beings who really worships the truth. What is proclaimed by the united voices of all the people of this world as truth may turn out to be false. Therefore, cease to confront the truth in a challenging mood. The truth is not brought into existence by such arrogance. One has to approach the truth in the spirit of absolute submission. It is necessary to listen to truth. Truth is self-revealing, and only when it is pleased to reveal itself can its actual nature be known to us and not otherwise. Can you see? So the truth is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. So he presented the truth, or the Supreme Absolute Truth, Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, in such a manner. In this particular statement, it covers everything. First of all, how one shouldn't speculate. How don't go with the masses opinion. And it is rare to attain bhakti and Krishna. And also Krishna reveals himself. And one has to approach submissively, with utmost submission, not with arrogance. So in this way, he presented the absolute truth. And the way he was presenting was quite scholarly. Even Srila Prabhupada sometimes mentions that out of Prabhupada's humility, he says, sometimes when my Guru Maharaj spoke, I didn't understand anything, but I simply listened. He's speaking out of his humility. But sometimes the masses didn't understand what Bhakti Siddhanta Maharaj spoke. We can even hear this statement. It's not so easy to understand for a common person. And sometimes it's mentioned that Bhakti Siddhanta Maharaj would speak and one of his senior disciples would give an explanation for some of his presentations. So it was so scholarly, his presentation. But at the same time, it was revealing, because he could expose the cheaters. The point I'm going to read, we can see how Srila Prabhupada was presenting the same point. Pure items are rare and not easily attainable, and so are not much appreciated. Similarly, there is no respect for those who do not misguide people but are busy trying through Sankirtan and Harikatha to turn them to the Lord. At present, it is fashionable to be cheated by those who, in the name of Dharma, misguide people. Real devotees do not speak to satisfy their audience. So this was his approach. They do not cheat people. So this was, Bhakti Siddhanta Maharaj was very clear on this point, and he was doing this again and again throughout his life. The normal conception of sadhu is one who is very peaceful and he will speak very amicably. He will try to reassure everyone, and people are coming for blessings, so they will give blessings and appease everyone. But this was not the approach of Bhakti Siddhanta Maharaj. So we can see the same qualities in Srila Prabhupada. Right? Prabhupada spoke the truth all the time. All the time. He didn't try to just appease people. We know the pastime where a gentleman, Indian gentleman, asked blessings for his children. Prabhupada said straight away, yeah, I'll give you a blessing. What is the blessing? By the blessings, they will become devotees like them. He showed the sannyasis who were there with the shaven head. So then he was, the Indian gentleman was shaken to the core and he went away. Thank you very much. He didn't want that blessing. So he was to the point. Srila Prabhupada never deviated. So we can see where it is coming from. It's coming from his own Guru Maharaj, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So he wanted to remove all the misconceptions. So he openly challenged the Mayavadi misconception, especially in Bengal, Yatomat Tatomat. He openly challenged, this is not, as you have the opinion, you have can have different paths. Any path will take you to the same truth. He rejected that completely. He said, the what sadhus are doing, in Bengali he said, probably it's same in Hindi, may be chup, tum bhi chup. Meaning, I'll be quiet, you be quiet. So the sadhu will not tell the truth, and others are also, they will also accept whatever nonsense the sadhu is performing at the background. So Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj was completely against. He was telling, no, I will speak out the truth. So he did that, and of course it caused a lot of problems. And he's very interesting statement. If we appeal to populists who have no comprehension of Hari, Harikatha or Satya Siddhanta, they will say that to promote genuine Siddhanta is sectarian and to refute Asa Siddhanta is blasphemy. Can you see? So if you tell the truth, they will tell you are being sectarian. And if you criticize that which is nonsense, then that is blasphemy. So this was the notion present back then, and we can see that that notion does present now as well, isn't it? If you are a monk, you had to pacify everyone. You cannot tell the truth, or that is not appreciated. But and generally in the common spirituality, it is like that, isn't it? It has to satisfy everyone. It has to give peace to everyone. Challenging is not appreciated. But Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj wasn't like that. When asked if Vaishnava Dharma could be acceptable to all, Srila Saraswati Thakur replied, there is no dharma other than Vaishnava Dharma. It is the eternal dharma of all jivas. So there are a lot of description, but you can see how this is going. And so if any of his disciples presented the real truth in an uncompromising way, Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj appreciated. Otherwise, he said, people are simply useless. If preachers are not presenting the truth, Maharaj said, they are useless. And he said, shandar goba, meaning a bull's dung. This is what Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj said. If you are not telling the truth, then you are bull's dung. Okay, we use in another language, but the same thing. Okay, shandar goba. So this is the statement of Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj. So tell the truth. So, and in terms of preaching, he said, to present the truth, one has to accept, one has to be nirapeksha, one has to be aloof from anything material, and one has to be present in pure truth, and then only one can present the truth. So naturally many people considered presentation of Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj as very aggressive. They considered general public, many of them, and many other sadhus considered Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj as just being very aggressive in his preaching. So Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj responded to this. And he said, the positive method by itself is not the most effective method of propaganda in a controversial age like the present. The negative method, which seeks to differentiate the truth from non-truth in all its forms, is even better calculated to convey the directly inconceivable significance of the absolute. See? So he wanted to present what is no truth. He wanted to expose what is no truth. Then it becomes easier to understand what is truth. He said in a controversial age like that, the same age is continuing, so one has to show what is no truth. Then only the truth can be presented. The only duty of sadhu is to cut away all the accumulated wicked propensities of every individual. So even Srila Prabhupada used to say, Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj's technique of preaching is cutting technique, chopping technique. Chop off. Whatever is unwanted, just chop off. So he was very clear about that. He said he was concerned more about preciseness rather than politeness. Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj was concerned more about preciseness in presenting the truth rather than politeness. So he was making sure that he was presenting the truth. And Srila Prabhupada himself wrote about his Guru Maharaj, no compromise. Ramakrishna, avatars, yogis, everyone was enemy to Guru Maharaj. He never compromised. Some God brothers complained that this preaching was a chopping technique and it would not be successful. But we have seen that those who criticized fell down. Those who criticized Bhaktivedanta Maharaj for his preaching, they fell down. Even Srila Prabhupada's own God brothers. So that's why many, even those who were sympathetic towards Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj's preaching, they advised followers of Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj. They said, Maharaj should calm down. He shouldn't be so much aggressive. He should accept others. Take others into account. Then only preach. Then he can have a large following. They even said that if he would just be a little more sensitive to public opinion and more positive in his outlook, if he would look for the good in others and not grouse so much and not be so insistent on always speaking the straight facts, then surely today no other religious leader would have as many supporters as he. This was the comment of well-wishers of Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj and his followers and Gaudiya Math. Just calm down. Don't go full on. You know, don't preach so aggressively and be sensitive. So Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj didn't compromise. He presented the truth. He said the whole world were against him, or if not a single individual were to stay with him, or if those who had made a pretense of surrendering to him were to leave, still under the protection of his guru's lotus feet, he would fearlessly and unceasingly preach the unadulterated truth until the last moment he remained in this world. So this was the approach of Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj. So there are more to say, but I will. Now we understood the way he was preaching. And then, I'll make a final point. He directly criticized in the Harmonist philosophers such as J. Krishnamurti and Rabindranath Tagore. You can imagine that is very, very strong, especially if you consider that point in time. Because J. Krishnamurti was worshipped, not just in India, by Westerners in UK, in US. He was, you know, the Theosophical Society, it was the foremost. It was very, very popular. It has spread throughout the world. So that's why they have branches even in Melbourne, even in Australia, everywhere in this world. And he directly criticized by writing, not just speaking, in the Harmonist magazine. And Rabindranath Tagore, he's a Nobel laureate. He's a poet, he's a Nobel laureate from India. And he was criticized by Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj for speculation. So, strong preacher. And at the same time, he never thought that he accomplished enough. Even though he established so many Gaudiya Maths throughout India, he never thought, I have accomplished it. He was thinking that there is much more to be done to present the teachings of Lord Chaitanya around the world. So that was his mission. He wanted to offer the whole world to the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya. Now, what was the principle he taught? So his presentation was direct. Now, what was his one of the main teachings and approach? And that is Yukta Vairagya. So now we will discuss about this point. This is the main topic for today's presentation, about Yukta Vairagya. How he preached and exemplified Yukta Vairagya. So the principle of Yukta Vairagya is of utmost importance in Gaudiya Vaishnavism. So what is Yukta Vairagya? It is translated as balanced discriminative renunciation in service to Krishna. So we know the definition of Yukta Vairagya. Anasaktasya Vishayan Yadharham Upayunchataha Nirbandha Krishna Sambandhe Yuktam Vairagyam Uchyate. So this is the definition, not being attached to anything, yet properly using everything in relation to Krishna is Yukta Vairagya, renunciation suitable for bhakti. So here, a few terms has to be clarified. One, anasaktasya. So anasaktaha. Anasakta means one is completely detached. So to practice Yukta Vairagya, one has to be qualified. What is that qualification? Complete detachment from matter. Then one can practice Yukta Vairagya. Then second, so anasakti vishyan, and use the sense objects, which could be generally used for sense gratification, use the sense objects properly in service to Krishna. Yathartham upayunjataha. So it has to be used in the most appropriate fashion in service to Krishna. So one has to be completely detached from matter, and then the material objects which can otherwise be used for sense gratification must be used in service of Krishna. And then it is Yukta Vairagya. So what is not Yukta Vairagya? For example, I have attachment to buy an expensive car. So I buy the car and tell that, look, I have a new car. Now I can drive down devotees to the temple. Or I can use this car in Krishna service. This is not Yukta Vairagya. This is called Mishra Bhakti. Why? Okay, I have my attachment. I am fulfilling my attachment. And in fulfilling my attachment, I am also using in Krishna service. So this is not Yukta Vairagya. Yukta Vairagya means there is no attachment. One is buying car only to serve Krishna. Then we can consider it as a Yukta Vairagya. That's what Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj did. So this is applicable for everything. And we will see as we go on. So it's not just dovetailing one's attachment in service of Krishna. That is not Yukta Vairagya. And then it has to be used appropriately. So Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj explained Yukta Vairagya. He's understood and he presented that Yukta Vairagya is a topmost spiritual consciousness. It's not ordinary, it's not on a lower scale, but it is a topmost spiritual principle. So to explain, he wrote two verses explaining Yukta Vairagya. Asakti Rahita Sambandha Sahita Vishaya Samuha Sakali Madhav. Very, very simple but very powerful. Asakti Rahita, without any attachment. Sambandha Sahita, but completely attached to Krishna. Vishaya Samuha, all the sense objects. Sakali Madhava, all the sense objects which is used completely in Krishna's service without attachment is same as Madhava, is same as Krishna. So, can we, such a strong presentation. All sense objects which are used without personal attachment and in relation to Krishna are known different from Krishna. So this is the presentation of his Yukta Vairagya. So he made it very clear, Rupa Goswami's statement, what is Yukta Vairagya. And on the other side, what is Phalgu Vairagya? What is not the real renunciation? You know, Srihari Sevaya Yaha Anukula Vishya Boliya Tyaghoi Bhula. It is a mistake to reject anything suitable for serving Krishna, considering it an object of sense gratification. So it's a mistake. So it is, Maharaj considered it as a mistake. He didn't just, you know, he said it's a mistake not to use in Krishna service. So this is the point he was honing all the time. So, Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj's aim was to preach to the entire world, and for that the key principle was Yukta Vairagya. So he made the statement that Krishna is all good, so are his energies. If Krishna is all good, so are all his energies, and all the energies can be used in Krishna's service. So that was the point he was making. Because that time, and we had to understand the context, historical context, that time Vaishnavas were completely renounced, at least externally, and practically they were living in thatched hut or under a tree, and people in general were not thinking high about devotees. And so the message of Vaishnavism was not spreading. Bhaktivinoda Thakur tried, he was the pioneer in it, he tried to bring forth the principles up to the standard. He actually presented the real Vaishnavism, and he exposed many cheaters. But Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj wanted to establish a mission to spread this principle throughout the world, to start with in India. So he actually established a mission. So this is the main contribution of Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj, if you see. So the principle was there, but he wanted to go strongly. So in terms of social condition of India, Western worldview was shaping the mentality of educated Indians. So this was the, so anything Western was accepted, and Vaishnavism was not respected. They were considered rejects in the society, illiterates in the society, or people who are doing hidden sense gratification. That was the position that, of the Vaishnavas. People were considering them like that. So to preach to the Indians who had Western mindset, and even to preach to the Westerners, he understood that he had to win the heart of the, or the, he had to impress the Western mindset. So this was the point he was making. So he said, it's a very interesting statement by Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj. So in this particular context, it makes a lot of sense. Many make a drama of chanting 3 lakh names, yet merely a show of chanting without disturbing others will not benefit anyone except perhaps oneself. Then this is the most important statement. Therefore, we are preaching by approaching the people of the world dressed even somewhat better than they, showing knowledge even somewhat greater than theirs, being even somewhat more stylish than they, without which they would think us worthless and not listen to our Harikatha. Can you see? So strong presentation. Dressed even somewhat better than they, showing knowledge even somewhat greater than theirs, and being even somewhat more stylish than they. So this was the approach of Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj. Even though he was preaching the truth, he was applying the principle of Yukta Vairagya. He was not attached to anything, but indeed he used many things in service of Krishna, in service of preaching. So he understood that even though they present Krishna consciousness in a worldly manner, or even he is trying to impress them in a worldly way, that is only the beginning. But if they get impressed, at least the current society would listen to his teachings, and eventually they will get purified and they can become pure devotees, they can attain pure Shuddha Bhakti. So this was the point of Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj, and that's why he adopted to this approach. He compared Yukta Vairagya to pragmatism of a serpent. Even Srila Prabhupada used the same thing. Ajagaravritti, you know, he used the term, the serpent, he will not make a hole. He will someone else, you know, a rat or something, make a hole, and then snake will go eat the rat and live in the cave, living the hole. Yeah. So this is the approach of Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj. Said materialistic persons have unlimited pains. They have taken unlimited pains to produce electric light, conveyances, mechanical fans, etc. And we will continue. They will continue in the same way, and as Vaishnavas, we will use them in Krishna service. So this was the approach. So whatever the materialists are providing, we will use them in Krishna's service. And he was very, very strong. He indeed strongly criticized and responded to atheistic mentality, because the general mentality is that why the temple is palatial, why Gaudiya Math temple is so big. And Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj said, people are asking question, rather we should have a bigger brothel. That's what they are thinking. Can you imagine? they are criticizing why you have a big temple, but what they are telling, no, we can have a big brothel, but why temple? So Maharaj criticized this mentality. And the materialistic people are thinking, we can drive cars, why devotees have to drive car? Can you see, this is the mentality. We can drive good cars, why are you driving good cars? Then, rather, Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj challenged this. And his answer and his followers' answer was one. That is, yes, the material opulences and conveyances and conveniences must be used by the devotees. It must be used by the sadhus, specifically. It must be used by the sadhus because sadhus know how to use them properly in Krishna service because they know Yukta Vairagya. So he challenged, he turned the table, so to speak. He said, no, it is not meant for the materialists, rather it is for the renounced. So he was a revolutionary preacher. And we will see that Gaudiya Math had four cars. Can you imagine? No, we may have a few cars now after maybe 100 years later. But that time, Gaudiya Math had four cars. And you know who used the car? The prominent preachers, they could use the car. Prominent collectors should use the car. And Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj himself used the car. Can you see? So it was used completely in Krishna service. And it was bewildering for the society. They couldn't understand what was going on. And he was completely against false renunciation because Maharaj wanted to spread Krishna consciousness everywhere. So in Chennai, in Madras, they established a Gaudiya Math. And one of his followers wanted to build a thatched hut in Madras, in Chennai, to live there and to practice his bhajan. And Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj criticized this very strongly. He didn't want his sannyasis to live in thatched hut, even though that was a norm at that point. He wanted everyone to live in proper places. He wanted everyone to be neat and clean. And he wanted everyone to have a high presentation of everything, both externally and internally. So he criticized that kind of approach. He said, renunciation is a matter of the heart. There is a vast difference between those who misuse the trapping of renunciation and they who follow the footsteps of Janak Maharaj or Ramananda Roy. But internal renunciation or Yukta Vairagya does not mean becoming a Ravana while externally imitating Janak Maharaj. So externally very renounced, but internally indulging in sense gratification. He didn't want that. So he wanted to use Yukta Vairagya properly. Because Yukta Vairagya, we know, it is a teaching from Srila Rupa Goswami, we can see in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. And this was the teaching of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And also this was the teaching of Gaur Kishore Das Babaji. So he understood that the teachings of his Guru Maharaj, Gaur Kishore Das Babaji, couldn't go far and wide. Because he was a bhajanandi. So his teaching, even though he taught Yukta Vairagya, but that didn't go far. And he understood, even his own father, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, his teachings were, it had some impact in Bengal, but Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj understood that many people accepted externally, verbally, but that didn't transform lives. So it gave goodwill to Vaishnavism in general in Bengal, but that was not so impactful. That was the point Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj was making. And so he understood Yukta Vairagya is a principle to be applied. He, that time, this we are talking about more than 100 years back, his disciples had visiting cards and neat clothes. Can you imagine visiting cards in 100 years back? Think about 100 years back having visiting cards. They had visiting cards. Then he wanted the Gaudiya Math devotees to wear stitched clothes, overcoats. We can see the picture of Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj wearing a big jacket. So he had his sannyasi robes and on top of that he had big jackets. So he showed that the devotees can wear these clothes. And as I told, Gaudiya Math owned cars. And in fact, when he was traveling in Patna, he saw decorated camel. So he said, such kind of creatures must be used in service of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. So they bought a camel, horse, elephant, and all of them were decorated and used all of them in processions with pomp. So this was the mood of Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj. And we have retreats, we have day trips, right? New people, we take them here and there. Who started this? Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj. He started the original day trip. He took people from high order, even Britishers and from other aristocratic background, government officials. He took them for Ganga Savari in a big launch, you know, go in Ganges and doing sightseeing, and meanwhile he presented Harikatha, Krishna consciousness. So it was started by Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj. It's not a new thing. Can you say he is the pioneer in it? And he invited great big officials. The big one was the visit of Governor of Bengal, Sir John Anderson, British governor, is the governor of Bengal. He visited Mayapur. And that time, Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj ordered a hotel in Calcutta to arrange meat and other items according to British taste for John Anderson. He was criticized for that, but he said, no, this is required. If this governor requires meat, I'll feed him meat. Of course, he didn't do that. He arranged with a hotel. And it is mentioned when one of his prominent disciples, Sridhar Maharaj, he protested, how can we do this? So his reply was, I decided all these things thousands of births ago. We had to do anything and everything for serving Mahaprabhu. And on other occasion, when a German scholar visited, he provided them smoke, cigarettes. So that was the practical application of Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj. He said, no matter what, the teachings of Gauranga Mahaprabhu must be spread and everyone must respect Gauranga Mahaprabhu and Vaishnavism. And he said he was criticized for over-endeavoring, because one of the items of bhakti is not over-endeavor. But Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj's reply was that if one has a capacity, then why not? It's not over-endeavor. He said, a capable person, he may have an empire, but still, he still has time for his family. He may be managing an empire, still he has time for his family. But another person, he may be struggling to maintain one family, and still he doesn't have any time for his family. So it depends on the capacity. So Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj made the point that even though he's making so many devotees, he's spreading Krishna consciousness throughout India, he made so many Gaudiya Maths, still it is within his capacity, it's not over and ever. He could do that, still he could maintain his sadhana. Of course, he's a siddha. He could maintain his sadhana and he could maintain his purity. Another revolutionary thing in Yukta Vairagya. First time radio was used for Harikatha, to transmission of Harikatha, transmission of Krishna consciousness. And they made the arrangement by which Janmashtami, Nandotsav and other major festivals were announced in the radio show. Think about this, you know, 100 years back. And he first used the initial form of projector, magic lanterns. Crude way of projecting things, he used that. So it was revolutionary. So he used all this in Krishna service to preach Krishna consciousness. So finally he made the point about Yukta Vairagya, that Yukta Vairagya is not something which is just a pragmatism for preaching, rather it is required to develop prema. This was the point Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj was making. So he made that, look, he said that the Yukta Vairagya is essential, for without seeing everything in relation to Bhagavan, one could not attain prema, the love for him that is the requirement of every jiva, and that devotees must engage everything in Krishna's service. Failure to thus utilize any item means to employ it for personal enjoyment. So we say that, okay, everything is connected to Krishna, everything is Krishna's, Ishavasyam Idam Sarvam, we can, there are many verses we can say. So Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj made the point that to realize this, we have to use everything in Krishna's service. That is a practical application. And Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj exemplified this. And in this way, Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj preached Krishna consciousness, actually worldwide. So when he sent his disciples to UK, he made the same point that don't show yourself just as a renunciant. Rather, preach to them in whichever way that it takes. And of course, we know that Srila Prabhupada fulfilled that mission, and Srila Prabhupada exemplified Yukta Vairagya. He went throughout the world, and he has presented about Yukta Vairagya in many, 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 many occasions. For example, some reporters asked Srila Prabhupada in a hotel, because he was presenting, he's preaching in a hotel, in a 5-star hotel. So the reporters asked, "You are talking about renunciation. Why are you preaching? Why are you staying in this hotel? Why are you having this presentation in the hotel?" So Srila Prabhupada's answer was, initially he tried to explain Yukta Vairagya, they couldn't understand. Then he said, "Suppose if I was preaching this under a tree, you wouldn't have come. So I am presenting this in this big hotel for you, not for me." He made the point very clear. Similarly, he was asked this an interesting question, that why you are speaking about renunciation, why are you flying in this aeroplane? Prabhupada, he gave multiple answers. One answer was, he said, people are going towards hell in a very fast pace, so I have to travel in this airplane to catch them. Prabhupada, he was telling it, he was exposing the reality. So Srila Prabhupada definitely exemplified Yukta Vairagya in many aspects, in many ways, we can see. He established temples throughout the world. That's what Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj wanted. And he spread the books, throughout the world, his literatures. And he was revolutionary in his ways of preaching, strong preacher. He established ashram for ladies, that was revolutionary. He conducted wedding ceremonies, marriage ceremonies he conducted, which was not otherwise heard, conducted by the sannyasis. He was criticized for that. Even when he reached Mayapur, he wanted to spend time not in Yogapit, in Radha Madhava temple, Chandradeva Mandir. This is Janmasthan, but this is Karmasthan. He gave more importance, Srila Prabhupada gave more importance to Karmasthan, because this is where the preaching is going on. And that's what Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj wanted. That's why he mentioned, otherwise it's just useless. So today, we can meditate on the teachings of Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj, and we can think how we can apply in our life, and we can actually pray for his mercy. So today we will have a Pushpanjali at 12:30, and it's a half day fast. So is there any questions or any comments? Oh yeah.
It's interesting how the concept of renunciation has molded or influenced Indian culture, the concept of what renunciation means, and how Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was a really very renounced individual himself. You know, he went to Mayapur and just chanted effectively for months and months and months, and that's all he did was just chant Hare Krishna, like the traditional concept of a renunciate. But as you pointed out, he and Bhaktivinoda Thakur railed against the Siddha Pranali and the false renunciation of the Vaishnavas, because there was an external show of renunciation, but then they were basically not following, and so that's why the Vaishnava sect, if you like, or the Chaitanya Vaishnavas. Reputation was shattered, was shredded, because they weren't practicing what they preached. But it's very difficult to understand, or very difficult to reconcile, the hard stance, right, with the phenomenon of wearing leather shoes, for example, or driving in a motor car, or serving tea, or, you know, making arrangements for accommodating the British, or those in control, really, of India at the time. And so that's a dichotomy there, a conundrum. How do we balance the hardline, uncompromising preacher with somebody who apparently bends the rules? Very difficult to understand that. So that's my question. How do we reconcile that? And one comment. On his vision, and I mentioned this many times, but it just struck me, it always strikes me. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur had the vision of youth hostels in London. And Prabhupada mentions that in his Vyasa Puja of 61, I think, or two. 61. And we're only just starting to do that in ISKCON now. Yes. It was his vision 100 years ago, and we think we're really at the cutting edge. Boy, we're really together. And yet that was Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's vision of 100 years ago. So what an incredible. But anyway, how do we resolve that?
Yeah. So.
And thanks for the class, by the way.
Here is an interesting thing. When he accommodated, so he was a strong preacher, he was a hardliner, he presented the truth. But when it came to John Anderson, he accommodated him. Why? How can we understand? So here, my understanding is, he was again applying the principle of Yukta Vairagya. The point is, he wanted to give credibility to Vaishnavism. He wanted to give respect to Vaishnavism. So his approach was, if we are not respected, then nobody is going to listen from us. And that was a problem before. And he wanted to remove that completely. And so, if great and prominent personalities or personalities in control of that time, if they endorse Vaishnavism and if they accept Mayapur, you know, as a great place of pilgrimage, and then it is very important for preaching, and to achieve that, he understood we had to accommodate British governor, and so he understood, okay, to accommodate him, if he wants to eat meat, let him eat meat. Anyway, he is meat, eating meat. It's not, we cannot stop that. And he was very sensitive. Interestingly, Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj, even though it is mentioned that he is presenting strongly, but he understood everything. It's not that he didn't understand anything. He understood everything. I will just make one statement. He also mentioned, one can be tactful in presenting the truth. If it is going to cause certain kind of danger and the philosophy is not going to go through, one can use tactics. So he said, thus Saraswati Thakur sometimes advised his disciples, don't say cow, but rather an animal with four legs, a tail and two horns that gives milk. So, thus Saraswati Thakur sometimes advised his disciples, don't say cow. If you want to say cow, don't say cow. So tactics, he was presenting the tactics. Don't say cow, just say an animal with four legs, a tail, two horns, and that gives milk. So he said, you can use some tactics when presenting. If the philosophy is not going through, it is not getting into it, then you can change a little bit, that's okay. But again, here he didn't change actually. He didn't use cow, but he explained everything about cow. If he mentioned, if the philosophy is not getting through and if there is some vendetta is there and if somebody is really, it is a matter of danger, if you are presenting straight, then you can present the truth but use some tactics. So here we can see that he used John Anderson, even though he accommodated him, he didn't cook. He was anyway a meat eater. He arranged a particular hotel which was serving meat to provide him meat according to the British taste. But at the same time, what he achieved, that okay, now everyone recognized Mayapur is a great place. Even the governor is arriving here. And Vaishnavism is a great philosophy because people are respecting, even big scholars are coming here. German scholar came and many other people came. So in this way, he was utilizing their power and position in service of Lord Chaitanya's mission. That's my understanding.
A lot of this you've got to look in, as you mentioned before, context.
Yeah.
And the subservience, if you like, to European and British,
yes,
culture.
That's right.
And why Krishnamurti and Rabindranath Tagore were held in such high esteem.
Yes.
So to criticize them was like that was radical. That was radical in the social context, yes, of the time. And so he had a very clear understanding of the culture, his place within the culture, the Vaishnava's place within the culture, and why these concessions were, like you say, appropriate. Yeah. which is sometimes what a Kanishtha or a neophyte or a fundamentalist cannot appreciate.
No.
Kala, Desha, Patra, time, place and circumstance. And that's why Srila Prabhupada was, yes, was super expert,
yes,
at doing that. Like being able to go to New York and adjust to the point where he was attracting European or Western, the Western mindset. The adaptability of our Prabhupada, but following in the footsteps of the mood, that mood of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is quite it's appealing for the Vaishnavas. And it's why you see some of the strategies that the devotees used in the 70s and in the 80s for preaching. Just like, you know, when I came to the temple, Balaram and Bhagavadasraya were convincing Korma that he should go to jail.
Yeah.
Go to jail. How's that going to help the preaching, right? But it did. Very interesting. So, you know, Galadesh, time, place and circumstance, really super critical. And that's why it's so hard for some people to understand, because they're just locked into a very, you know, rigid understanding of things.
Yes. Any other question?
Krishna Prabhu, speaking about tapasya, Prabhupada reduced the chanting from 64, which was given by Saraswati Thakura. He also reduced the tapasya for fasting also, like we can eat grains. So this is less than what Saraswati Thakura introduced. And do we get this, Prabhupada giving the same benefit, full benefit, Krishna conscious benefit, by reducing? Is that order come from Saraswati Thakura, or he bring himself?
Yeah. In terms of chanting, Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj advised his full-time preachers to chant 16 rounds. He didn't ask them to chant 64 rounds. He didn't expect them to chant 64 rounds. Because he understood that the preaching has to go on. If they're chanting all day, then who is going to preach? So he said 16 rounds is enough. Even the, we can see that even though Srila Prabhupada initially said 64, you know, the pastor, 64, 32, 16, Prabhupada knew where he's heading to. He knew all his members must be preachers. Srila Prabhupada knew. So he gave to us a minimum of 16 rounds. So it's not a restriction. It's a minimum 16 rounds. So as devotees develop taste, and as other responsibilities are reducing in life, and then one can chant more. So 16 is only minimum. We had to understand the context. That's what I'm telling you. You had to understand the context. That for the preachers, Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj was happy chanting 16 rounds.
Yeah, he didn't demand that they chant 64
rounds. No, he didn't.
He can't chant 64 rounds and be a preacher.
Yeah.
It just, well, for most of us, that 16 rounds is 2 hours. Right?
Yes.
And that's 4 times, that's 8 hours of chanting. Or let's say you chant a bit faster.
7 hours.
That's 7 hours of chanting. So what are you going to do with the rest of the day? Yeah. What's left of the day?
Yeah. What Prabhupada is given is more than enough. Yeah, no.
Yeah.
No, he never said. So the point is, if one doesn't have other engagements, then one can increase one chanting. So one doesn't have to consider it's only 16. It's a minimum. But was also it's a minimum. So as one progresses, they chant more. And we can see advanced devotees, even in our movement, they are chanting. Pretty much, some are chanting all the time. Not necessarily on beats. Chanting is going on. They are experts. Then they can chant all the time. One can do things and one can chant. Keep chanting in the mind. It's fine. Even while distributing books, we can chant many times. Because, you know, there are time in between where I guess we are praying, then we can chant. So chanting is, it's not that, it doesn't mean that one has to have the beats all the time in the hand. So there are many ways we can chant.
We have to be careful with this, because the devotees will preach that our Prabhupada reduced the standard.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Right.
Yes.
And so therefore is upper value. Is upper something like.
Yeah.
You know, we should all be chanting 64 rounds to be paka. Right? And so what that does is it then reduces faith.
Yes.
In Srila Prabhupada. Yeah. You know, why is Srila Prabhupada, and this is why Prabhupada was, it's why Prabhupada was very careful in instructing his disciples not to associate with his god brothers, because yes. There were a number of issues that were highly controversial between our Prabhupada and leaders of the Gaudiya Mutt. The fact that he was called Prabhupada, that upset them like anything, because, well, for fairly obvious reasons, right? Prabhupada was the title that was given exclusively to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Then when one of their god brothers accepted the same title, that was very, very, very difficult for them to accept. And fair enough, you know. But again, context, so important, in the context of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness and the broad spreading of Krishna consciousness, which was the order of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Prabhupada, our Prabhupada accepted that, right? Yet he could easily have been, not easily, he was criticized by his god brothers for that. So these adjustments, especially, you know, there is an argument, I've heard it, you know, we should all be chanting 64 rounds.
And
where did that come from?
An addition to that is there, and also maybe early retirement to dham.
No, Prabhupada didn't.
Never
no.
said. Exactly.
No, no, so, don't go to the. Prabhupada showed the exact opposite. Leave the dham.
Exactly.
And preach. Yes, it's a fact. Diwali sometimes said to me, I think I should go and live in Vrindavan. And I'm thinking, well, why? Why?
We can see directly the same from Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj. He sent people everywhere from the dham. And Srila Prabhupada, he didn't want. So people have this misconception that, you know, chanting 64 rounds, live in the dham, that is the way for perfection, the path leading to perfection.
But actually, and this is why Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur preached against this, was because you go to the dham and then just make a show of devotional service and eventually fall down. That's what happened. Huh? I go and do my bhajan, but Prabhupada says all you do is sleep and dream about sex. So when we're out in public and we're preaching, we're under public scrutiny, which is good for us.
Yeah. Okay. So you had a question? Okay, quickly. That's the last one. Thanks.
Prabhu, you mentioned how Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur would always say the truth. But we hear in lectures when we're preaching, we should say the truth which is palatable by others.
Yeah.
And we see when we're doing books, we sometimes have to say something which is actually untruth just to convince them to take the book. So is that okay, or does that mean we're not following the instructions of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur?
For example, can you give an example what you say on books?
Like sometimes someone asks us, is there something about Lord Shiva in these books?
Huh?
Is there something about Lord Shiva in these books? Then we
Shiva,
say,
okay.
Yes, there is some parts of Lord Shiva in this book.
Yeah. Krishna book has Shiva. In Bhagavad Gita there is Shiva. There is enough description about demigod worship and about the demigods. So we are not completely untrue. So, yeah, but we say this is not the book about Shiva. It's not the book about Shiva, but there is Shiva in this book as well.
You know, I thought I was being uncompromising with my brother when I told him, this is when I first started preaching him, you're going to become a hog, a dog, a camel, or an ass if you don't chant Hare Krishna. Right? And that was, you know, that went down like a lead balloon.
Yeah.
So, you know, uncompromising and stupidity sometimes go together. We've got to be uncompromising but super smart, which is what is the example that we get from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and Prabhupada. that uncompromising means use your brain something, yeah. You know, use your intelligence to insert Krishna consciousness and it's a unique perspective at looking at life, right? That's attractive, and that we want to do that, not, you know, that we so uncompromising that we alienate everybody or just freak them out.
Yeah, he was not sectarian. He didn't say Hindu is okay, Hindu, Christian, Muslim. He was very broad in his presentation. Yeah, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati.
Although Prabhupada does say that the Mayavadis would walk on the other side of the road.
Mayavadis straight, but even though other religions who were worshipping God, he accepted. So that was the clear? Okay. Okay, final. Okay, we don't have breakfast, so no problem. Fine, one more question.
Sometimes people say that some devotees among devotees, when they chant 16 rounds, if they take 3 hours or more, is that okay?
3 hours for chanting 16 rounds?
3 hours, yeah.
As far as they are able to hear what they are chanting, it is fine.
And the 64 rounds also, if they, those days they were chanting, were they preaching too? The 64 rounds?
No, those who are doing 64 round chanting, preaching is not their service generally.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why they were more into bhajan. Mm-hmm. That's why they were able to do it. Mm. Yeah.
And telling politely also, like sometimes when you ask people, when you feel like they are more close and things, sometimes when you ask that if they are following 4 basic rules like meat eating, no illicit sex, no gambling, they are all initiated people. When you ask about that, we try, they say. About illicit sex, they say we try. Hmm. What is that meaning, we try?
I don't know, you had to ask them.
Yeah.
How can I say?
Yeah, that means, no, they didn't say, that means we try, means they are not following. So, yeah. How can you help them? So you can, only them, they can help themselves.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Grantha Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur Maharaj Srila Prabhupada ki jai.